Welcome to the Utah Royals FC show. My name is Lucas Muller. It's episode 116 of the podcast. I am joined today by Cindy Laura. No Virtue today, as he did die because of the eclipse a few weeks late, but you know, no one can escape the power of the eclipse. Cindy, how are you? How was doing all the soccer things over the weekend?
Pretty fun. Pretty great. Lots of soccer. Nice. Wins for some clubs, not Utah, but
can't win them all.
Can't win them all.
That's what I've always said about soccer games. Nice. Well, I feel like we're going to approach this episode with sort of a good news, bad news, good news sandwich of the team made some really exciting signings. They had what is their joint worst loss in club history. Mm. And then they host a home game against a bad team. So that is optimistically good news. But let's start off talking about these new signings. Utah Royals roster, legendarily thin, I think, at this point, or at least until recently. Lot of youths on the team, which has been great. It's exciting to watch these players develop and kind of grow into their own, but definitely lacking some veteran presence, maybe some maturity. So they made some signings. Cindy, do you want to walk us through who's the name of the first player they signed?
The first player?
Well, maybe the first player on the way we have it listed.
Oh, I was like, well, that was not the one you have listed. It's Amandine Henry. I
know. What a pronunciation. So they picked her up from Angel City. Were you surprised to see this move come through?
Yes. Angel City is actually doing a lot of moves, actually just two, but yes, I was not expecting this one. I think before I went to bed on Friday night, there were rumblings about Utah making a trade. I think we were all hoping that maybe it was Maria Sanchez, which,
yeah,
you know,
we talked about that last week. That would have been great.
That would have been great. It's
not quite the player they got.
No, they did not. But I think Henri is a good— oh man, I'm already French. Not surprised, but exciting. I think Utah needed some excitement in their roster. I think last Tuesday they made another move, which we'll get to here in a bit. But yeah, it's exciting. I think Henry is world class. French national team, won a bunch of Champions League titles with Lyon. Is that who she plays for? Used to play
for? Yeah, she was at Lyon for forever. Had two different stints.
Yeah.
Has 102 caps for France. Like, that's a pretty incredible resume. Mm-hmm. I think the most impressive piece of kind of her professional history is she was born in the 80s, which is the only player I think on this roster to be from the 80s.
Okay, and like barely 89.
Well, you don't count. Wait, when were you? Were you born in the 80s?
That is personal information.
Oh, well.
But yeah, 89 is not late. Come on.
I was born further back in the 80s, but only a little bit. Mm. So definitely support 80s babies being on the team.
Yeah.
Great to see. I think they just should bring back Nicole Barnhart, who maybe was born in the 70s.
Yeah. She's still playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, you know, on the roster.
I mean, she, I think is just part of the NWSL charters. Nicole Barnhart is always in the league, no matter what. So,
yeah.
To me, it felt like the midfield was certainly an area that needed to have some I don't know, veteran influence. And Henri, I think, is that player. Mm-hmm. Someone who can, I think, come in immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, I assume she's healthy. She's played recently for Angel City. Mm-hmm. Have an impact both on the field, but also help bring some maturity. And I'm not that the group is, you know, immature, but helps have some of that veteran leadership. And I was a little surprised by this more than the other two players that joined. Mm. Because you kind of got the sense that they were going for younger players, that they were going to all develop and grow together. Mm-hmm. And to me, this feels like a smart move of they must have a lot of trust mm-hmm. in her, that she is the right person to kind of have that voice. She's done a lot that no one else in the squad has done. I mean, she has a resume that, you know, is probably not that dissimilar in some aspects to A-Rod. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Champions League, I mean, playing at Lyon is huge. All those Champions League victories that's an incredible feat mm-hmm. as a player. So, and she's, well, you know, prior to Angel City, she had played with the Thorns for a few years in the mid-2010s, I think like 16 and 17, somewhere in there.
Yes.
So she's, you know, aside from a long career in Europe, she does have pretty good familiarity with the NWSL.
She does, which is exciting to get. I mean, I think I've been a huge just believer in, like, you need players with experience and not just like 2 years in the league, like extensive, not just in the league, but as a whole, like that's important. You can't, yeah, that's going to be a tangent, but when I heard Utah wanted to build a team, you know, from kids that were barely walking, I was like, okay. okay, not really walking, but, you know, just fairly young, haven't had that much experience in the league. Like, you, I mean, that might have been a good to go, like, years ago, maybe, when the league started, but
yeah,
the league is too fast, too advanced, too competitive to come in with that mindset. So,
and I mean, I got the sense that they were going to go with this group until the summer window mm-hmm. and to make three, what I consider significant signings, you know, obviously well before summer is huge. Mm-hmm. And it feels, to me, it feels like, I don't know if I would call it a course correction, but like an admission of like, okay, we do want to stick to our approach, but we do want to add some more to what we have.
For sure.
And that feels like, yes, that is the right thing to do. This far in, when you have, you know, one win and four losses, probably don't want to let that ride too long, because mm-hmm. I think that, you know, losing continuously can affect the team's mm-hmm. mindset.
Yeah.
And it can be hard to dig yourself out of that hole.
Yeah.
So in addition to Henri, the next signing that we will discuss is Spanish defender Ana. Oh man, I feel like I practiced this in my head. Tejada.
Yeah. There you go.
How's my Espanol?
Sí, muy bien.
Ah, gracias. So they signed her to a 3-year contract with an option for a fourth, which feels like they must have a good level of confidence. And she joins the league from Real Sociedad. So, you know, a very storied club within the men's game. And so they are competing in the Spanish league, women's Spanish league. I think the last game she played in was like a 7-1 home loss to Barcelona. But FC Barcelona is probably one of the better teams in the world right now.
Yes.
So it's hard to be upset about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's a defender. What do you think? Do you think she's a player that's likely to break into the starting 11? I know probably neither of us are particularly familiar with her game.
No, I think so. Just, I mean, she definitely has out of all the younger players in the Utah roster, except for like Kate DeFaba, she and Paige Monahan, she probably has the most like real solid experience playing professionally. I mean, she's been a pro since she was like 15.
Wow.
Yeah. And
she's only 21 now. So, yeah. I mean, 6 years as a pro is great.
It's pretty great.
I mean, that's more than Kate DeFava, who is 25, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's made some international appearances with the at the youth national level. And then also with, I think she has a cap with the senior Spanish national team in 2022. So, yeah, I definitely think she will be expected to like be a starter and make an impact.
They need that. So
yeah,
it's good.
Yeah.
Last signing, Macy Frazier coming over from the A-League. Mm-hmm. What do we know about this player?
Well, she plays for the New Zealand national team, right?
Mm-hmm. I want to say 5 caps.
Yep.
For the Ferns.
Yeah, for the Ferns, not Ferns. And the Royals paid what, like 6-figure fee for her?
Yeah. Have you seen a specific number? All I've seen is 6 figures.
No, which I'm surprised. Okay. I think that's all they do is they give like a general ballpark, because I don't think that's something that the league itself wants public. Like, nobody knows how much somebody makes. It's not like, yeah, you know how much with the men's team, you know exactly like, oh, such and such is making.
They publish it all. The spreadsheet comes out every summer.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, Eric Holt is making how much?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I think what I saw from ESPN is there was no specific number given, but the previous A-League transfer record, so this broke the A-League transfer record. The previous one was Bay City, and it was known to be like $100,000.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe it was $101,000. Maybe it was more than that.
Maybe.
But she is on a 3-year contract, option for a fourth. Mm-hmm. Just like the Spanish defender, Ana
Tejada.
And let's see. yes, midfielder. Overall, the Royals pick up 2 midfielders, mm-hmm, and a defender.
Mm-hmm.
I think of what I would want them to sign. Like, that feels right.
Yeah.
That feels like it meets the needs, the most urgent needs. The attack, they've got some spark. I still have questions about Bedford being a starter. I would love to be proven wrong. Mm. But Monahan has looked good, if not, probably not great. Centner has looked darn near great.
Yeah.
She definitely has that spark to her.
Yes, I would agree.
Do you have any sense that these signings are going to help the team move up in the table? Or is this one of our classic wait and see moments?
Yeah, I'm going to go wait and see. I think there will be an improvement for sure. But I'm not going to expect the Royals to be like number one in the next coming weeks. You know, like.
But there's nowhere to go but up.
There you go. Yeah. I think it'll be good. I'm excited to see how just Henri brings like that experience. And I think she just has like a more leadership type presence, which I think is what's missing with the Royals. Nothing against Monahan, but she doesn't strike me as, I don't know, a vocal like leader, whereas Henri probably does. Like, she's probably gonna, you know, yell at them in her French accent or something.
Sacre bleu.
What does that even mean?
I feel like I read one. I know it's like, I feel like I read once that no one was quite sure where the expression came from or what exactly it means. I had a French coworker who was one of the most delightful people I've ever known. And we used to say that to each other quite a lot. I also taught him the term rad. And he had never heard it. And he still uses it to this day. which is rad. Yeah, I wonder if there's will at any point be any tension around, oh, Monahan is like the announced, they made a big deal that she's the captain. Mm-hmm. If Henri does become like, oh, she's like the leader of the team.
I don't know. They could do co-captains. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of think someone with, I guess it depends on if she has an ego or not. You would hope not, but someone who's had that kind of experience is kind of happy letting someone else young develop and grow into that leadership role.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to some bad news.
Oh, man.
As I call it, the game recap section. So the Utah Royals traveled to the beautiful state of Kentucky, the state where my parents were married.
Aww.
My brother lived in for several years when he was in Army. Mm-hmm. And they just got wrecked.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, 5-1 loss to Racing Louisville.
Hmm.
Bad game.
Very bad game. I mean, it wasn't bad until the last 20 minutes.
Yeah. I would say it wasn't good.
Yeah.
And then the wheels fell off.
Yeah. I mean, a 1-1 up until, what, the 70th minute looked promising.
I think seeing the scoreline. So here's, I was camping this weekend, did not have cell service, which was probably a blessing. And as soon as we got out of the national park, we were at Arches, and it got service. Like, I looked on FOTMob and saw... It's like, oh, big win for RSL. Let's see what the Royals score was. 5-1 loss. And then kind of going back over the game, it was good to see that they held, you know, they conceded first, mm-hmm. got back in the, you know, in stoppage time in the first half, mm-hmm. and kind of held that for a good chunk of time.
Yeah.
They didn't feel in command. It didn't feel even... And I really wanted it to be like, oh, things were going great. And then it just fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like Racing had the better chances, were more in control. Even the possession, like a lot of stats were quite similar. Possession was literally 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
And passing accuracy wasn't that different. I mean, they did outshoot the Royals, but the differences weren't huge except for with shots on target. And Racing hit the post several times. Mm-hmm. Like, they should have had more goals. Hot came up big a couple times. The post, probably the most effective defender we had in the team. And it just felt like the Royals couldn't find a rhythm. Mm-hmm. I mean, really early in the game, it felt like they were hunting in packs and they were being aggressive. And that looked good, but that they just weren't able to maintain that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was rough. It was rough.
It was. I mean, a big piece, a lot of injuries on a thin roster.
For sure.
Because you have Dorsey out, Ife out, Fodor out, Gray out, Tagliaferri out, Nyberg out. Like, good chunk of those are starters. Obviously, Dorsey's in a season-ending injury.
Mm-hmm.
Those are pretty impactful players overall, so that does hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like this team should have done better. Also, Riley just wasn't in the 18. It sounds like she picked up an injury. She wasn't on the injury list.
Yeah.
But we're not totally clear what happened there. Mm-mm. Caleb Turner of KSL Sports did report that she had an injury. I don't know when she picked that up. It must have been after the injury list came out.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because I did not see her. Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it's hard. And it was a tough environment. Record-breaking crowd in Louisville. Louisville? I never know how to say it. How do you say
Louisville?
It? Louisville.
I asked my mom this once, and she was like, you want to say it like you have, like bourbon in your throat. And it's like Louisville. Like you've got, like, gravel in there. Louisville.
Louisville.
It is funny hearing people be like, Louisville. which is so close. I was in Louisville in 2019 for a USL game, and they weren't in that stadium yet. Because the not racing. What's the name of the men's team?
Louisville FC.
I don't think so. I feel like they have a more creative name. Anyhow, they play in that stadium, and it was supposed to open like the year after. It looks like a really great spot and definitely have good support, which is great to see. So, it was a good atmosphere for them.
Mm-hmm. Is it just Louisville FC? Are you sure it's not that?
No, I'm not sure. But, did you look it up?
I was gonna, and then I got distracted.
Okay.
Louisville, it is Louisville City.
Louisville City.
Yes.
Whoa.
You said it was.
Well, you just said Louisville FC.
Oh, yeah.
So.
At a city.
Yeah, I think, that game, they had one of the best TIFOs I've ever seen, which was a two-pole of Bobby Hill from King of the Hill saying, "That's my trophy, I don't know you." Like the, "That's my purse, I don't know you." Which is one of the more funny moments in that show. But Louisville City FC aside, in the starting 11, Flynn came in for Riley, who's apparently injured or MIA, we don't know. Clough and Burns both got starts, which was fun to see. Burns played in the last game. It was good to see her. Glad to see a little bit more from her. I don't know if this was the best game for her first start, but we also saw Sittner get pushed back a little bit into the midfield. So I think Monahan shifted to the left wing with Mazingo on the right, and then Bedford at the nine, which I would like to see Sittner play at some point. And overall, mostly ineffective. They did concede that first goal in the 26th minute, but then they drew level, and it was a really good goal. I mean, felt like the team had decent possession and the build-up, but yeah, just Griffiths, just kind of her first touch is really good. She's able to get past the defender with that touch, and then fantastic strike.
Yeah.
And that was the highlight of the game for me.
Yeah, that was the highlight of the goal of the for me was, you know, the goal.
What went wrong, do you think? Do you think there's anything specific that led to them just kind of shipping four goals just kind of at the not at the death, but in the last chunk of the game?
I think it all comes back to the players they have out there. Hmm. I mean, I think, five rookies? Like, that's a lot of youth. Not only, like, young players. I mean, nothing. But players that are, like, trying to get used to the speed of this league. I mean, you ask any rookie in the NWSL. What's different from college rank to now to playing in the NWSL? And it's like speed. It's so much faster.
How dare you insult the BYU Cougars like that?
I know. I'm sorry, BYU. I mean, that's almost half your team. That's like going, what are, I mean, it's hard. And then you're playing players like, who's on Louisville's side? I was going to say
DeMelo,
thank you. That's the one. I mean, she's on the U.S. national team. Carson Pickett. Who else? Emma Sears. I'm trying to think of Canoe, who's been like on fire. I mean, she's like one of the top goal scorers in the NWSL right now.
Yeah, got that first goal. Well taken.
Yeah. Katie Lund has been very, I think, an underrated goalkeeper in the NWSL right now.
She had a good game.
She did.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, Abby Ersig, who comes from the ranks of like North Carolina winning NWSL championships. You're facing players that are already so experienced. And then you're throwing in these young players, rookies. It's just like, man, it's hard.
Yeah. So who are the rookies that start? Mazingo, Sintner.
Griffiths. Burns.
Burns, yeah.
Is it Clough? Is she a rookie?
I think it's her first year in the league.
Okay.
Is she a rookie? I've got the roster pulled up.
Mazingo, Bedford, aren't they all rookies? Yeah.
Bedford's not.
She's not. Okay.
Mazingo is.
Mazingo is.
She was at BYU last year.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Clough also was at BYU last year. No, not last year. Okay. She was at the Pride for two seasons.
That's right.
Oh yeah. She played for she's the one who played for Utah Royals FC reserves.
Okay.
9 appearances, 6 goals, was coached by, Amy. Oh, what's her name? She was the interim coach.
LaBelle?
What?
LaPelbit.
I can't.
Yeah. I said Rose LaBelle.
She was coached by Rose LaBelle. Who is probably younger than her. That would be funny.
Okay, let's get our facts straight. Griffiths, rookie.
Yes.
Who else? Burns. Sentner, Mazingo. And Bedford?
No, I don't think so. Is she?
I'm doubting myself. Bedford.
This makes for really great podcast audio. Googling things. She was with the Thorns.
Yeah, that's right.
So she is young, 25.
Okay.
She was at Wake Forest. Mm-hmm, interesting.
Maybe I should open the roster. Wake Forest. What a cool name.
It is.
Anyway, you got rookies out there.
And the players that aren't rookies often have a year or two in the league where they weren't regular starters.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's... Yeah, there's certainly some inexperience.
Yeah. Wait, the goalkeeper. Is she?
No, she's...
Yes, she played for Sky Blue. Never mind.
Yeah.
Sky
Blue?
Sorry. When it was Sky Blue.
That's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
When she played for Sky Blue.
2020.
Okay, she was drafted in 2020 by Sky Blue, which is now Gotham FC. spent 1 year in New York, then moved to the Swedish team. I'm not even going to try to say that. And so she was with in Sweden and then returned to Gotham in 2022. So she's NWSL champion.
Casey and I are talking about potentially going out to the Gotham away game Ooh. In September. Got some family who live in that area, and it would be fun to
should
go to an away game.
It should. That'd be a fun one.
Don't know if it'll happen, but you know, we're in early stages of discussions. I feel a little worried that the team gave up another penalty because that's
what kids do.
Four and four games or something. It's what?
I said it's what the kids do. Just kidding.
I guess so. Yeah. Who came in that one? Was it Griffiths? No.
Mm-mm. For...
Who conceded the foul in the box? It was...
Oh, in the penalty, it was Pogarch.
You're right.
She brought down Emma Sears.
That's right. That's it. Ref reviewed it. Didn't take super long, unlike the last away game where it took 42 minutes to review the potential red card on Fodor. It feels like a lack of discipline in the box. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that. Mm. I mean, it that could be something that just, they don't give up another penalty this year. Mm. Giving up two, then one, and then a game without any, and then giving up another one. Feels like we're starting to develop a pattern. So might be nothing, but also worth watching.
It's got to be. Yeah, and I feel bad, constantly focusing on they're young and inexperienced, and you're like, but they are, and that's just the reality of things. I wonder if Amy was just like, okay, that's enough. We need to do something. Maybe she just stormed into someone's office and was like, we cannot do this any longer.
There was one really funny moment. I think it was either a pregame warm-up or training where I can't remember what player she was talking to, but she's like, hey, Monahan. I don't think it was Monahan, but it was like, hey, Monahan, what am I going to say? it feels like such a funny reprimand of I made a mistake. And we've talked about this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I do think, youths aside, I mean, two of the three players they brought in are 21, so younger than the average player on this team. It feels like everyone on this team is basically 25. But they both, those two have decent playing experience, regular starters, and then they bring in a veteran like Henri that feels like a step in the right direction.
Yeah. Now we just need a couple more.
Yeah. I mean, this feels like it could be a good first step, and then we see what we need in the summer. They might decide, okay, we need a more effective number nine. We need another center back to be in the mix, you know.
For sure.
We'll see. And obviously it is good to see that they spent a decent amount on and these players, I know, you know, I guess we don't know what Tejada was paid.
No.
Or what, but Frazier was at least $100,000.
Yeah. I thought I saw that the value was in the $300,000.
Wow.
That's maybe I'm just thinking on the top of my head, but I think I briefly saw it somewhere. The worth.
Yeah, that's great. Hopefully more of that. Any other thoughts in this game?
No. And I know that you said that it was bad the whole game. I get it. But I really think the PK was the turning ouch, this is going to be bad. Because I really, for a moment, I thought this game was going to end 1-1. I'm like, you know, it's been rough, but they could leave Louisville with a point. And then the PK happened, and I think after that. Well, I mean, I know the PK happened after, but like the Savannah DeMello goal in the 68th minute was the like, oh, never mind. But then 10 minutes later, the PK happened. And you're like, oh, man.
And the, yeah, and then it just falls apart. It's like, oh, this isn't good. And then it totally falls
apart. Right. So.
Yeah, seeing, I mean, basically a goal, 10 minutes, a goal. 10 minutes, a goal, 4 minutes, a goal is just like, oh,
yeah,
gut punch.
Yeah. Because a 2-1, going down 2-1 is like, that's still, in the 68th minute, that's still, you can still try to pull something to tie it or something. But then you get a penalty, and then you get like another goal, and then another goal. You're like, ooh, that's bad.
Yeah. Well, they have a good opportunity to right the ship. On Saturday at 5:30 at the unnamed stadium in Sandy, Utah, they host a pretty bad Houston Dash team. And I think it's a good opportunity. I don't know if any of the injured players will be back by then. But Houston have just, you know, one win, one draw, three losses. I mean, they're only separated from the Royals by a point. And I'm not convinced that they're a good road team.
No, they're not. They're just on the struggle bus too. Hanging behind Utah. Or leading Utah. I mean, yeah. You thought, I mean, 5-1, Royals lost. The Dash lost to Thorns 4-1. So, whoops.
Yeah. I mean, with a win, Royals could jump up pretty significantly. I mean, I know, like, other results would have to go their way, but if they beat the Dash, they will be on 6 points, which would put them solidly ahead of the Dash, who could be bottom of the table, depending on what the Rain do. I mean, that's the funny thing about these early season games is one win and it'll all of a sudden, oh, you're basically bottom of the table to mid table.
Yeah. I mean, it's not over. We are used to seeing playoff spots decided on the very last week. Just ultimate chaos. But yeah, you're right. A win puts them in first place.
Not quite, but emotionally it would feel like that.
I mean, honestly, it seems like, oh, 14th place is bad, but like Rain and Utah have 3 points right now. And then after that,
Gotham are
on
4 points.
Yeah, and then you have Portland, San Diego, Gotham, Houston, all with 4 points.
Yeah.
So it's not like terrible. I mean, it looks bad, but there's so much hope.
I mean, we're 5 games into the season. I think right now they have a mini injury crisis, but new players coming in. I'm really curious if any of them will be available this early. I know at least one of them was waiting, obviously not Ari, but was waiting on a visa. Maybe both of them are.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I believe so. I don't know how long those take. Do you know?
it varies, which is frustrating. Yeah. It used to be faster. I mean, I think what is nice, like coming from Spain and New Zealand is easier than some other countries. I know on the RSL side, Savarino coming from Venezuela was really difficult to get a visa because the U.S. does not have good diplomatic relations with Venezuela.
Yeah.
But like Spain and New Zealand should be pretty, pretty innocuous.
Yeah. Yeah. Should be fine.
But that doesn't mean they'll be available. Hopefully we'll find that out ahead of the game. And drop that into the preview maybe. You get that info.
Yeah. Yeah. TBD.
Cool. Well, I would love to see, I think, a mix-up in how the team lines up in the attack. I just feel like, yeah, I think that you can get more from some of the players you have. Unfortunately, some of the injured players, like Ife, like Tagliaferri, would be players that could come in, could start, whatever, and they're just not available. And that is tough.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely got hit by injuries this past week. Because it started out like 1-2. And then after this week, it was like, whoa. And then when you already have a small roster, going into a game with quite a big list of injured players, that's bad.
Yeah, I mean, they only made one substitution with Burns coming out and Vasconcelos coming in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised Tucker didn't get any time. But she's played a fair bit.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe it's don't want to push things too much. And it's more this, you know, that game is lost. Let's try to win at home next weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that should be a fun game. Mm-hmm. 5:30 on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Dash. That's a win.
Maybe. I did once see the Dash win a trophy at that stadium.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was weird.
That was weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Cool.
Anything else we want to touch on?
No. I'm particularly excited to see Henri play for Utah. I think that'll be really fun.
That will be.
And not only that, like a player people are familiar with too, you know. Especially like if you followed Utah when they were Utah Royals, the first version. That's a cool name to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that'd be fun.
Yeah, definitely. Curious when she'll be available, I assume, for this game.
I think so.
I would be surprised if she's not.
Yeah,
but
no.
Who knows? Who knows how these things work? I mean, I guess if that deal was done on Friday, there's no way she was going to be available for the next day.
Yeah. No, she wasn't.
But a week?
A week.
Plenty of time.
Oh, definitely. Didn't the Royals...
And then the game...
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Then the game after that will be against her former team. because Royals host Angel City on May 3rd.
Yeah. That'll be a fun one.
Do we know when Press is going to be healthy again?
So is she getting close? She's getting close.
I know she's been in training.
Yeah. So that's why it's believed that Angel City did like these two trades with Paige Nielsen, sending her to Houston Dash, and then Henri to Utah, is because they needed that cap space, roster space for Press.
Oh,
so
that's exciting.
That is exciting.
It would be super fun if she was she was available for that game even as a sub. I doubt it'll be that fast.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Who knows? But it would be fun.
Cool. All right. Well, I guess on that note, we can wrap up. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll be back next week to recap the Houston Dash game, hopefully victory, and look ahead to the game against Angel City.